This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, my brother sent me a beautiful dua this morning which he received from somewhere on WhatsApp. And the dua is, let me first tell you what the dua is and then I will tell you my thoughts on this. The dua is, my Lord, help me surrender all that I am so that I can receive all that you seek to give me. O Allah, help me to lay down the burden of doubt and to walk freely in faith, trusting that your plans for me will always be greater than my greatest dreams. O Allah, forgive me for the mistakes I have made and the mistakes I will make. My Rabb, please remind me that your goodness will always be greater than my faults and that your love will always be greater than my shame. O Allah, shine your light upon me so that my eyes can awaken to your truth and so that my heart can be illuminated by the reflection of your beauty. In your sublime names, I pray. Ameen. So absolutely beautiful, beautiful dua, alhamdulillah. So I thought, let me share it with all of you. Now my thoughts in this is that when all of this is so clear, I mean, this is for anyone of faith, any believing Muslim, none of this is new or none of this is something which is, unusual. So why then is it... Why doesn't it get reflected in our lives? Why is it so difficult to live by this? And the answer is very simple. It's all a matter of our conditioning. Now, we are conditioned, and this is the biggest game that Shaitan plays. The biggest game that Shaitan plays is that he deceives us, and very successfully, the entire, quite literally, the our whole society, and by this I don't mean Western, Eastern, everyone. Our whole society and all of us in it included, may Allah protect us from ourselves. Shaitan deceives us into believing that matters which are actually not in our control are in our control. Matters for which we will not be held accountable are matters that we should worry about. Whereas matters which are in our control, where we can make a difference, and that also a huge difference, an everlasting difference, are matters that we should ignore. And matters where we will be held accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa mashallah, are matters that we should ignore. Now, to give you the easiest example, the best way, the simplest way, the most powerful way to answer the question, what will I be held accountable for, is to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fard on us, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory on us. Whatever has been made obligatory on us, we will be held accountable for it. What has not been made obligatory on us, we will not be held accountable for this. Right? This is I sometimes hesitate saying these things because it looks like as if I am stating the obvious. But the obvious doesn't seem to be obvious. This is the problem. So, what Allah made fard, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated, he will question us about. What he did not obligate, he will not question us about. This is logic, sensible, understandable, simple. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligate on us? To begin with, fundamental principle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, I have not created the jinn and the human beings for anything other than my worship. So to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obligatory, and therefore it is something that we will be questioned about. This has been given into our control. We are not compelled to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not forced to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not something that is beyond our control. Because if Allah made something obligatory, then He gave us the ability to do it. To give you on a side note, there are many people who, if you ask them, my brother or sister, have you done Hajj? Because you are a wealthy person, alhamdulillah, you have the means to go for Hajj, you are healthy, you are wealthy. Have you done Hajj? They say, no, I am waiting for, hamare Urdu mein bolte hain, bulawe ka intezar kar rahe hain. Jab bulawa aayega to jayenge. I am waiting for the invitation, for the call. And when the call comes, I will go. Believe me, the only call that will come to us is kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. The only call that will come to us is qul yatawaffakum malakul mauti alladhi wukkila bikum thumma ila rabbikum turja'un. The only call that will come to us is the call of malakul maut, the angel of death. Allah said every living thing will die, will taste death. And Allah said, say to them, malakul maut has been set upon you and he will take your souls and he will return to Allah. There is no other call. What has been made obligatory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ability to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Hajj obligatory and he said, man istata'a ilayhi sabila. The one who has the ability to go, must go. And what is the ability? Ability is physical ability, meaning health and wealth. That's it. So if I have health and wealth and I'm not going for Hajj, believe me, my brothers and sisters, I am responsible. It's not anybody else. And if I am saying I am waiting for the call, well, the only call you will get and I will get and we all get is the Malakul call of Malakul Maut. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who dies without doing Hajj, when he or she could have done Hajj, they died without doing Hajj, they will be raised with the Jews and the Christians on the Day of Judgment. They will be raised with those who are not Muslim on the Day of Judgment. So think about that. So now, the point I'm making here is, the shaitan plays this game of convincing us, and he has very successfully done that. May Allah have mercy on us. I believe, I'm probably not exaggerating if I say that this has been successful with everyone. Different varying degrees, but practically every human being. That things which are not in our control, shaitan makes us worried about them. He gives us this false impression that this is in your control. You can increase it, you can decrease it, you can change it and so on and so forth and do that. Whereas things which are not, actually things which are not in our control, which are decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing that you do which can change that. And therefore you are not questionable about that. Shaitan says get worried about that. To give you the biggest example of that is the question of sustenance, is the question of risk. The question about risk that we will be asked on the Day of Judgment when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in two parts. Where did you earn it from and what did you spend it on? Where did you earn it from and what did you spend it on? The question that we will not be asked about risk is, how much did you earn? How much did you earn? Now just take this one thing and we can, I can talk to you far more on this, but for this moment, just take this one simple thing, which is, on the one hand, you have this question which we will be asked, where did you earn your sustenance from and where did you spend it? And on the other hand is the question in our minds, which Shaitan put there, which is, how much did you earn? Then look at yourself, and I remind myself to look at myself and say, in our lives, where is the focus? When we are benchmarking ourselves against other people with regard to our career, with regard to our earning potential, and so on and so forth, what are we benchmarking on? Are we benchmarking on quantum of wealth, or are we benchmarking on the means from which that wealth was earned and where that wealth was spent? When we say, when we talk about role models and we name the names and say so-and-so, 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 what are we talking about? When we say net worth, what are we talking about? The worth of the possessions of the individual or the worth of that individual as a moral, ethical person? Which one? I won't give you the answers. The answers are, the answer is blowing in the wind. I mean, it's absolutely clear in our faces. The question is for us to accept that answer and say, this is where I have been going wrong, and change that. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determined how much, in terms of quantum, how much we are going to receive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and I'm quoting Quran for you, straightforward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, announce to them, tell the people, قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا عَلَمُونَ. Now there are many ayat of this nature, but I will suffice with this one. Allah says, say to them, it is my Rabb, إِنَّ رَبِّي, surely, definitely, verily, it is my Rabb, إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. It is my Rabb who expands and gives more of provision or restricts it. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But unfortunately, the unfortunately word is not there in this ayat, but most people do not know. Now here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying very, very clearly. Allah is saying, don't worry about provision. Provision has been written by me for you. And Allah loves us more than we can possibly imagine. Allah loves us more than our mothers. But Shaitan is not happy with that. Shaitan says, no, this is what you should worry about. And then you say, well, if I earn my provision this way, if I take a interest-based loan, if I sell haram products in my shop, if I earn from haram sources, what will happen to me? He says, no, don't worry about that. Allah Ghafur Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Where is the dalil? Where is the dalil in the Quran and the Hadith to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the one who deliberately indulges in haram? I will tell you the dalil in the Quran and the Hadith with respect to the one who is dealing with interest. I don't need to tell you. You know the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah and many ahadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah declares war on the one. Allah declares war, Allah and His Rasul. In the name of Allah and His Rasul, Allah declares war on the one who deals in interest, in riba. Where is the Quran or the Hadith to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this person? And this is not to deny the forgiveness of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive anyone and irrespective without boundary. Allah can forgive absolutely anyone. But when we say forgive or not forgive, I'm not putting a boundary on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying Allah will not forgive. I'm just saying that the dala'il for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not exist in this particular case. Allah said He will punish. Allah said this person is my enemy. I am his enemy. I am at war with this person. So we are not denying the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are opening our eyes and trying to open the eyes of our brothers and sisters to say, leave this deception of shaitan. Focus on what is in your control. I want to close with the story of Hasan Basri rahmatullahi, which I have mentioned dozens of times. They asked him, how is it that you are so peaceful? How is it that you seem to have no stress in your life? He said, because of four things. Number one, he said, I know why Allah created me and I focus on fulfilling the purpose of my creation. Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I focus on fulfilling the purpose of my creation. He said, secondly, I know that what Allah has written for me, nobody can take, so I don't worry about that. So number three, he said, I know that Allah is watching me, so I watch everything I say and do, because I don't want to be ashamed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deliberately disobey Him and then be ashamed. And he said, number four, I know that I will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day, so I prepare for it. The same logic. Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi was a Muslim, we are Muslims. He was at peace, we are stressed out. So it's a very important thing to understand, is focus on what you own, what is in your control, and work on that. What is not in your control, what's the sense of focusing on that? But our whole conditioning is to focus on that. Take our conversations. Are we talking about what am I doing, or are we talking about what the world is doing? Right? Let me leave you here with this. It's long enough. We'll talk more later. But very important. Focus on what Allah has given in our control. And what Allah has not given in our control, leave that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what He's doing. We trust Him completely. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.